All right, let's start reading at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful who? Abraham, or believing Abraham. All right, we've been talking on the subject of living in the supernatural, and we are in this area now we call one thing is needful. Glory to God. Let's go over to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, we'll start reading here, starting at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. Mary also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's deal with this. Dost thou not care? Care. That's an interesting thing about what God has planned for you and me. He has planned for us to live the kingdom lifestyle. The kingdom lifestyle. Now, the garden of Eden contained the kingdom of God. And I shared with you, my wife said something, and I tell you, I can't improve on it, so it must be from God. She said that all this in the Bible here, especially New Testament, is working to get us back to Eden. It's working to get us back to a place where we were living like Adam did before the fall. That Eden means a place of voluptuous living. It's a place of heaven on earth. It's heaven's atmosphere. And all this is really trying to get us back there, see? Because once Adam fell or sinned, he got put out of the garden. Now he's got to struggle for everything he gets. And out of that struggling and toiling and so forth, now Jesus came, and he came to reintroduce the kingdom of God. And in the reintroduction of that kingdom, he's taking them back to this toil-free life. He's taking them back to a place where they're going to live like they used to live back here. Now, to do that, you've got to get his precious promises that are separating you from this corruption that is in the world through lust. Through pressure. Lust doesn't mean just some woman looking at a man looking at a woman. It means pressures. And these scriptures are designed to do that. See, they're designed to elevate you. The curse is still here, but you're going to ride above the curse. So there's some 8,000 promises here. But in this, cares. He said, wait a minute, thou art careful about many things. What did he say? He said to her, he said, and she said, dost thou not care? Well, let's go over to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, please. It's about all the way over by the book of Revelation, 1 Peter chapter 5. All right, look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and then look at that verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, notice, God is an exalter. He wants to exalt you. Now, wait a minute. He doesn't want you to exalt yourself. That's where you lose out. You got to let him exalt you. That's what people try to do. They try to exalt themselves. You know, let me come preach for you. You know, I mean, if I want you to come preach, I'll tell you to come preach for me. And trying to get some position in the church and so forth. They're all trying to exalt themselves. But a man's gift will make room for it and bring him before great men. I'm just saying, God knows who you are. He knows people are working in the nursery. He'll move from somebody from the nursery to the pulpit. Why? Because they're faithful in what they're serving and they're not trying to exalt themselves. Look what it says here, verse 7. Casting all your what? Care upon him. Keep going. For he careth for you. Wow. See, he cares for you. You don't have to care for yourself. He cares for you. See, does that not care? No, I don't care. Are you following what I'm saying? See, the enemy wants you to stay up all night and care. Why? Look at verse 8. Be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he doesn't have any teeth, walking about seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith. You got to resist him by faith because he's going to try to bring cares on you and make you care, but you were never designed to bear the weight of your own provision, of your own care. You're supposed to cast your care over on him. You're supposed to, all right, here's a money clip right here. Stand up just a minute. Well, I was going to throw this money clip. Hold on. Let me throw something else. That's all right. Hey, y'all got my point. I came to myself. Y'all got the picture, don't you? Care is this. It's like I take some keys and throw them over to somebody and they catch them. Now, if they've got them, I don't have them. Now, I can't act like I have them. This pastor one time had told me, he said to the pastor, said, hey, you know, all these people are going to, they're at service, and he said, hey, you want to take everything that's weighing you down, take it and bring it out back, we're going to burn it up. We are so forth and so on. All the bad habits, everything else. Hey, took everything out back, and nobody had a match. So he said, well, just go on home. I'll take care of it before the morning. He came back early the next morning, the pile was empty because everybody had come back, got every care, got every worry, got everything that was weighing. I'm telling you, that's what people do. You tell them, don't do this. And you got to resist it by what? Faith. You got to do it by faith. You got to say, nope, I'm not taking you. I'm not taking that care. And I'm going to act happy. And you got to do something like that. It might be extreme, but you're going to have to do something. Say amen to that. And you're going to have to make yourself do it. All right, let's go one more place. Let's go over to Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 4. Now, I'm still talking about, don't you care? No, I don't care. Then you got to get used to saying that. One of the biggest cares today is money. Hey, here's the answer to it right here. Verse 6. Be careful or don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He's the one who cares for you. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts, come on, and minds through Christ Jesus. So the enemy is coming after your peace. But you're going to have to, no, I'm going to bed. I tell you, boy, when that money hadn't come in, you know, for this mall, and we had missed one closing, and now the next one's closing up, closing in on us, and I just gotten the word from people who are selling it saying, if you don't have the money this time, we're gonna sell it to somebody else. Oh, man, the pressure was on me and so forth, and God spoke to me. I was just before him, I need an answer. He said, the money's not here by money, go to the bank. Praise God. I said, okay. I said, all right. Then that was that Thursday. That Friday, lawyers start calling. Everybody else started calling. Pastor, where is the money? Do you have the money? I said, well, you know, I believe I've received. Believe you received. What is that? Do you have the money or not? Do you have the money? You know what I did? I told him I'd get back to you. I went home, went to bed, pulled the sheets over my head. Say amen to that. Amen. And I'm telling you, Monday came and all of a sudden another was there. And I said, well, what bank am I going to? I know I'd gone to the big banks already. But God had a ram in the bush and had me go to this small bank. Next thing I know, the man said, can you get me something by 6 o'clock tonight? I said, I sure can. Well, he's 6 o'clock tonight. That night I gave him the stuff. 11 o'clock next morning, he called me and said, Pastor Winston, yes, sir, you got your money. I said, all right, praise the Lord. Glory to God anyhow. Now, my point to you is somewhere you've got to obey the word of the kingdom. Now, let's go to that because I want to show you that. Now, in this, come on over here with Matthew chapter 13 for me. In this, what had happened is that you and I, glory to God, in this, you and I are in the kingdom of God. Where did I tell you to turn? Matthew 13. Could you put something right there for me, please, and go to Colossians and chapter 1 for me. I should have taken you there while we were back there in Galatians. Colossians chapter 1. Now this loan that we got to purchase the property was divinely arranged because I got the word, you know, after we got it, that particular bank don't loan nobody no money. I shouldn't say it like that, but that was a miracle. That's what God does. Say amen to this. But he didn't want me to carry this care. And I had to do something with it. I got in there. I wouldn't accept any phone calls. I wouldn't do anything. Why? Because I was, you know, I was at the gold line here. I had to go over. And I couldn't start speaking a lot of wrong things and so forth at that point. All right, look at this, verse 12. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, I want you to underline the inheritance of the saints in light. The inheritance of the saints in light. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, notice what I told you first on the line, saints in light. Saints in light. Now, you've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. You've been delivered from it. Got it? You're not gonna be delivered. You've been delivered. Got it? So you are in a new kingdom. Amen. The kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear son, the kingdom of love, the kingdom of God. That's where you are. Say, I'm in the kingdom of God.
I'm in the kingdom of God.
Now, the enemy is king over the kingdom of darkness. He is king there. He is holding people through darkness. One One translation talks about darkness is synonymous with ignorance. People just don't know. And they're being held there. Now, he had programmed us with the word of the kingdom of darkness. All right, let me show you that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Now, where are you now? No, I didn't ask you a scripture. I'm talking about where are you in terms Matthew chapter 13. You're in the kingdom of light. Okay. Now, maybe I should have been a little bit more specific. Okay. All right, now watch this. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. All right? Notice there's a king. And the king over the kingdom that you're in now is Jesus. Amen. King Jesus. Amen. And he has a word called the word of the kingdom. Now, this word of the kingdom is the word that is designed to transform our thinking and work through us to provide for us everything we need in the earth, independent of what's going on around us. The word of the kingdom. This is the word of the kingdom. Now, of course, I said there's another word. And the enemy has used that other word to try to bind us or program us. And that other word is the word of the kingdom of darkness. So he's taught us how to speak. He's injected words of darkness into mankind, into our speech, so that these words will hold us in his kingdom. So, it just thrilled me to death. All right? Now think about that. You can just say, just thrill me. I'm impressed with that. Scared me to death. Now, I'm giving you this because you say, oh, that's just words. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I know you're looking at me right now. This that I'm telling you is key. Look what it says. Verse chapter 15 of Matthew. And verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into your mouth defileth a man, but as that which comes out of the mouth, this is defiling a man. So the religious people were getting on him about what they were eating. He said, wait a minute, that's not your real problem. Because what you eat, if it's bad, it's gonna come out. Do y'all agree? Okay, but it's what you speak that's gonna affect your life. Are you following what I'm saying? So what am I telling you? I'm telling you, down to the next verse, verse 12, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Watch this. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. What is he saying? He is saying, every tree God has plans to rid your life of every tree that's limiting you in this life. Every image that's limiting your progress, because you're in the kingdom now, you have just become unlimited. Oh, have mercy. There are no more limits on your life. My point to you is you were programmed with boundaries, but now the boundaries have been removed. Your only boundary is the Word of God. There are no more impossibilities. Now, I'm working my way to meditation, because meditation makes things no longer inconceivable. But here for you is, I'm saying that the kingdom of God, it's the word of the kingdom given to you to give you the ability to do things that were previously inconceivable for you. Y'all still with me here? My Lord. Ooh-wee. So now, we were trained by another kingdom, but our assignment is where Adam left off. And that assignment is to replenish the earth. And the way that I'm going to have to do it is I'm going to have to use the word of the kingdom. Replenish means to recover form of fullness. It means to stock with abundance. It means to perpetually renew and supply. I've got to go into places that were before ruined, places that were desolate. Put it up there, please. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 33. Put it up on the board. Lord, have mercy. Y'all with me? Verse 33, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, wherein it lay desolate in the sight of all them that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like what? Come on, say it louder. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities have become fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined cities or places. I plant that which was desolate. The Lord has spoken it, and I will do what? I will do it. What are we planting? We're planting the word. The word of what? The word of the kingdom. It's the word of God, but I want you to start thinking with the kingdom in mind, because what I'm doing is I'm advancing the kingdom everywhere I go. I'm making wherever I go like heaven. Now, I'm working up somewhere, because that's why I want you to get this. Now, don't try to just think this out, just intellectually now, because this, I'm going to talk about wisdom in a minute, and it goes beyond intellect. Matter of fact, let me show you over in Matthew chapter 13 again. Let's go back over there. Are y'all with me? See, don't try to change the kingdom lifestyle to fit your lifestyle. You got what I'm saying? Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You've got to change your lifestyle to fit the kingdom. And to do it, you got to give your life to receive it. You got to give up how you're living. Are you following what I'm saying? That this new kingdom that I'm talking about is so powerful that if you start dealing with, see, that's what I told you. When Joseph got dreams, we showed you last time that he told his brothers about the dreams. And what did his brothers start doing? Hating. They started hating on him. Because for his dreams and his words. And their hate elevated them into a place that they wanted to kill him. Now, isn't that just like Cain and Abel? Same deal, because that's what hatred will do. It'll elevate, because it leads to death and leads to murder, leads to destruction. Hatred, it's a terrible thing. Where is it found? Hatred is found over there in Galatians chapter 5, where these are the works of the flesh. Witchcraft, adultery, hatred, all those are works of the flesh. But what will hatred do to you? Hatred eventually will destroy you. Now, while people are hating, they feel good about it. Yes, they do. They feel like they got a right to hate. But see, that's a work of darkness. It's designed to destroy you. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. The thief is the king of that kingdom. That's the word of that kingdom. The word of this kingdom says something different. It's from the king. What does the king say do with hatred? Let me just show you that. Have you got something right there? Put something right there where you are. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5 real quick. Now, I'm taking you further than you've been before. So just hold on, praise God. Matthew chapter 5, let's look at that and see what he says. Have you got it? Look what it says down here in verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, what? Love your enemies, keep going. Bless them that curse you, keep going. Do good to them that what? Hate you, there it is right there. So if you hate me, I'm going to do good to you. I'm not going to retaliate, because retaliation feels good to the flesh. But it is a work of the flesh that is guaranteed to destroy you. I better talk over here, because don't look like nobody over here. Listen. This is the word of the king. You are not in a democracy anymore. Once you have been placed into the kingdom of God, now in the kingdom of God, you are under a theocracy. One God, he gives all the laws, and you say yes and amen. Now, while you're hating, it feels good to the flesh. But it's designed to destroy you. The Bible says that be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man, come on, soweth, that shall he also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap destruction. Put it up there on the board, please. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, please. Look what it says here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall also reap. Put the next verse up. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. Stop right there. Put the Amplified up there, please, if you can do that. I know I'm probably messing with you, but put it up there if you can. All right? Amplified. If you can't do it, then okay, here. All right? Let's see. That started in the middle of something. That didn't start at the beginning. Do not be deceived or deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts. Keep going. Being set aside, he inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Keep going. Next verse. For he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap what? Decay, keep going, and ruin, keep going, and destruction. Destruction. It feels good when you're doing it. But everything that feels good ain't good. It makes it feel so good when you hate because you think you got a reason to hate. But understand the word of the kingdom. Do good to them that just hated on you. So when Jesus got on the cross, he didn't say, Father, call fire down on him, especially that one right there. Call fire down on him, burn him up. He didn't say that. He said, Father, come on, forgive them. Because it wasn't them, it was the one behind them. Now, if you're a carnal Christian, you get mad at people. But if you're spiritual, you see the devil's work. And you gotta cut him off, because if you're just dealing with people, as fast as you deal with this one, he gonna use another one. You got to stop the one at the choke the devil right out of him. Now, what I'm saying is the principles of darkness are on a much lower level than the principle of the kingdom of light. They operate on a much higher plane, and they are superior to these. It looks like these got some power to them, but they don't. It's an illusion. These up here got the power, and love will stop them all. I know this is the right bunch I'm talking to. So I got to do good to my haters. I can't retaliate to them because that's a work of darkness. I got to say, hey, brother, it's going to be all right. Why? Because he can't stop me anyway. If God be for me, that's a word of the kingdom. Can't no man, come on, can't no alabasaka. Now you're learning something. The word of the kingdom. That's the same as the word of the king. This is not a place where you can raise your hand and vote on it. This has been voted on. Father, Son, Holy Ghost said yes. It is now law. And watch, if you sow that way, you will reap everlasting life.
Yes, sir.
Great rewards will come to you.
Yes, sir.
But for a moment, it looked like he getting away with something.
Yes.
No, just stay with it.
Yes, sir.
There's a woman over in 2 Kings chapter 4. Notice what happened. Her man of God spoke a word to her. She had never had children. Next thing you know, she conceived. Next thing you know, the child started growing up, 13, 14, whatever age was, went out in the field with his dad. Out there, it was hot out there. He said, "My head, my head." What happened? They took him back to his mother. He laid his head on his mother's lap. Boom, died. What did she do? She ran upstairs, put him on the prophet's bed, that when the prophet comes by, that's where he sleeps. Put him on that bed, closed the door. Came back downstairs, said, "Sweetheart, I'm paraphrasing now, I'm going to see the man of God." He said, "Now, why are you doing that? It's not Sunday, you know, it's not new moon or the Sabbath." She said, "All is well." I'm talking about the word of the kingdom now. I'm talking about the word, because that got power. See, the king gonna back that word. Say amen. Amen. I said, when it looks the worst in your life, step back and say, "All is well." How about Daniel? Here he is. The three Hebrews, they wouldn't bow down, because the enemy will try to put pressure on you and make you bow down. They said, "No, can't bow down, king." King said, "Well, I'm going to have to throw you in the fire." They said, "King, we respect you. We know that you're a good man, so forth and so on. You're still the king here, but the God that we serve." I said, "The God that we serve." Come on now. He will deliver us. He might. Now, I ain't talking about he might. I'm talking about you'll never be broke another day in your life. I'm talking about I'll never be sick another day in my life. Say something. Y'all with me? The word of the kingdom. That's the word. That's the last word. See, truth has power to it. Now, let me, one other thing. Jesus, the Bible says in John, oh, have mercy. I'm trying to finish this right now. I'm telling you, I got a new leaf now. John chapter 3 and verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So because he speaks God's word, the power of God was flowing through him and producing all the good works that you see being done. Now, Lord have mercy. Let me just deal with one more little thing. I got 51 seconds, but y'all just, can you give me just a little bit more time? I tell you, I got to do what I got to do now. So remember, the world system is operating on inferior principles. That's all they have. You have the word of the kingdom. You can operate on a whole nother level. Now, let's look for just a moment again at Matthew, in Matthew chapter, I think it was 15. Pardon me, chapter 13. Excuse me, chapter 13. Let me know when you get there. Two things I want to show you. One. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Now, what is a mystery? A mystery is something that is beyond human or natural comprehension. So God has planned for those who are in the kingdom to have knowledge beyond the most educated folks in the kingdom of darkness. Got it? Now, I'm not saying don't go get an education, because the education pulls things out of you. But my point to you is you are operating on a superior advanced system. Glory to God in heaven. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 53, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence has this man this what? Wisdom and these what? Mighty works. Now, understand, we're going back to Eden. And we're taking up the Eden mandate. The Eden mandate says that I'm supposed to replenish the earth. I'm supposed to go to every place that's ruined and desolate and make it like a Garden of Eden. Now, understand, to do that, I've got to use wisdom. Go over to Proverbs chapter 3, please. Proverbs chapter 3. And in Proverbs chapter 3, I'll start reading at verse 13. Happy is a man that findeth wisdom. Praise the Lord. And the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. Let me read that to you out of the Message translation. She is worth more than money in the bank, and her friendship is better than a big salary. Talking about wisdom now. Verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days are in her what hand? Right hand. And in her left hand, what? Riches and honor. So there's two things that you get with wisdom. One, in your right hand, you're going to get what? Length of days. Long and strong. Now remember what happened is here was Jacob. Jacob left wisdom. Jacob now start dealing on the level of the flesh and of the curse. And as a result of that, he thought he had lost his son. And then next thing happened, Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? He said, I've not yet attained to the age of my fathers. His father Isaac of 180 years old when he died. His grandfather Abraham, which is 175 years old. And he went on, and over in Genesis chapter 39, I think it is, he died at the age of 130 years old. My point to you is, this is very interesting. By toiling, by struggling, by not using wisdom in this life, is designed for this life to shorten your life. It's designed to bring you into a place where you're toiling and struggling and trying to do it like the world. But if you get hold to wisdom, then one thing you'll get is long life, because the toil and struggle is gone out of your life. As a matter of fact, I start doing some little research on me in terms of, Lord have mercy, can I talk here? It's kind of looking at my life and saying, okay, this wisdom thing, where did it work in my life? Well, let's look at the rest of this first. Verse 17, her ways are pleasantness and all her paths are peace. In other words, when you don't have peace about this decision that you're making, maybe it's because there's no wisdom in it. Maybe you need to sit back a minute, need to get with God, need to pray in the Holy Ghost, need to meditate the Word of God, let wisdom come up out of the stream of wisdom, and then peace will show you the way. Say amen to that. Amen. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. Well, if he founded it by wisdom, it's going to have to be fixed by wisdom. Jesus had wisdom and might operating in his ministry. Also, over in Revelation chapter 5, come on, I'm beginning to close. Revelation chapter 5, and look at verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us to receive power and riches and what else? Wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So wisdom is part of your inheritance. God plans for you to have wisdom. But I noticed on this airplane, we had been trying to pay for the airplane and pay it off and so forth. All of a sudden I said, God, wait a minute. There's a better way to do this. So you got to first understand that there's a better way to do what you're doing. And so what I dropped back, got before the Lord, meditated the word of God, prayed in the spirit, and kind of turned the plate over a little bit just to hear what God had to say, because he's talking all the time. And so I heard him. He said, this is what you do. Take an envelope, make it this color, offering envelope, then put this on the front of it. And then what you do is, I want you to plan on paying that airplane off in 3 months and so forth. I said, Lord, we're headed towards Christmas time. He said, tell them don't go in there Christmas and get it. He said, tell them that I'm gonna pay it off myself. And tell them this, that if somebody doesn't want to participate, you don't need to participate. Because over in 1 Samuel chapter 14, I think it is, he said, God will deliver you by many or by few. So it doesn't make any difference how many people are with you, because God's going to give you the payoff himself. And so what did I do? I obeyed God. The voice of God is the wisdom of God. And when I obeyed God and did what he said, Lord, have mercy, the money started coming in. The next thing we know, we're trying to raise that $3-4 million, whatever it was. But all of a sudden, we got a call from the owners. The owner said, I tell you what, if you got the money now, I'll cut this thing in half. I'll just let you have it. See, now understand, once you deal with wisdom, you progress at heaven's speed. Once you deal with wisdom, you progress at heaven. Oh, come on, y'all, come on, get me now. And then also, when you deal with wisdom, you tap into heaven's supply. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. I will start that next time. Woo, we about to cut the devil up. Oh yeah, think about it. If you had a business and you operated in wisdom.